from in Paul's letter to the Hebrews, were instructed to encourage one another, support one another. There's all of these beautiful one another passages in Scripture. Love one another, be kind to one another, reprove one another, rebuke one another. Wide variety of these exhortations that communicate this way in which we're connected and how intentionally important it is that we take that responsibility for one another seriously, that we can't live this life, this Christian life alone. We need this compassion and exhortation and even reproving and rebuking at times from one another, correcting. The reason is really very clear. It's given in the same passage in Hebrews we heard, but also several times in the book of Hebrews, is that it's very easy for us to have our hearts hardened. That's what it says of Israel, their hearts were hardened in the day of provocation. And it's so shocking, it's unbelievable if you, you know, read the Exodus and you follow the people of Israel, all of the miracles that happened. Not in a million years can you imagine them standing on the edge of the promised land and saying, no, God's not going to give us this land. He's not going to take care of us. He's not going to place these enemies into our hands. We're going to instead stand outside here in fear. It's unbelievable their hearts could be hardened after seeing all that God had done for them. Not just the amazing miracles, but even the forgiveness of them after they built the golden calf and worshiped it instead of God when Moses was taking so long on Mount Sinai. So they experienced God's compassion and mercy, miracles, amazing sights, and yet their hearts were still hardened. And St. Paul's remedy for that he's instructing us with is not to ask God to show us more miracles, more amazing things, more things that wow us. He's not saying that what we need is even a greater awareness of God's compassion and forgiveness of us. He's saying that we need one another. We need one another encouraging each other, experiencing this connectedness that we have with one another, because our conscience so easily gets dull or hardened. It's a very beautiful discussion, short, 3 or 4 pages long, in St. Dorothea of God's on conscience, and how it is that God created us with this sense, this ability to be aware of right from wrong, and really to be a kind of a doorway or avenue for the Holy Spirit to speak to us and guide us in this world. The effects of the fall are that Amadeus says that conscience gets buried under all of this crud, and then of course Christ coming to redeem us in our baptism and the mysteries of the church kind of unburied and raises our conscience to a level where it can be operative again. But now he says it's up to us. And there's two great problems with our conscience. That really the same problem becomes in two different ways. We become desensitized or hypersensitized. We become kind of dull, unable to hear, or we become overreactive. Every little thing becomes, and then really both in the sense, the same deformity of the conscience, because we're not able to simply have that kind of inner calm, the quiet and waiting and sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And his exhortation to us, the kind of his encouraging us, encouraging one another, he encourages us in a very simple way. He says that we train our conscience in the very littlest things. If we try to train our conscience in the big things, it'll never work. But in the very smallest things, when our conscience pricks us or prompts us to say a kind word, to call somebody on the phone, to hold our tongue, bite our tongue, to close that web page, to whatever it might be. The very very smallest things, maybe just to clean this dish or to pick up that litter, whatever it might be. So whatever, think of the most trivial thing you can think of. Say, well, and then he says, well, what? Whenever we find ourselves saying, what difference does it make? He says, it makes a very great difference indeed. Why? Because it's sensitizing or desensitizing our conscience. And so, in this way, we can avoid, or at least contribute to the avoidance of this hardening of our heart, which prevents us from following Christ into the promised land. That's, in a sense, our part, but it's also our part then to encourage one another in exactly this way, to support each other in this endeavor to heighten our awareness of God speaking to us. Not so much that we need to tell each other what we need to do in the sense of, oh, go wash the dishes, go mow the yard, go get a job, go whatever. We don't have to so much give people that kind of advice, although sometimes we need that too. But mostly we need the encouragement to be sensitive to God's leading in our life, responsive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Not dull and not hypersensitive, not overreacting. The problem with overreacting is that you project on everybody else what they need to do. Everything becomes someone else's problem, instead of being kind of listless and careless and nothing has meaning at all. Everything has so much meaning in actual full, but it's other people's problems, other people's causes. And so this exhortation from St. Paul today is profoundly important. And just as Israel's journey through the desert to the promised land becomes an image for our whole journey in our Christian life, so this particular event is a profoundly important reminder for us how we need to live that journey day by day, to be growing in our sensitivity of our conscience to God's leading in our life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.